Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Amen. All right. Invitation to the Miraculous. That is the name of our series, and we're studying out Jesus through the book of Luke, right? So we know that Jesus invites us into the miraculous when he asks us to follow him. He says, come follow me. And man, when they followed Jesus, they saw all types of miracles happening. And so he invites us to the same thing. And really, when we read the word of God, when we start putting it into practice, we get to experience the miraculous as well. So we go beyond the mundane and the mediocre, and we get to experience the miraculous when we respond to the invitation of Jesus. But I want to ask you first, for our folks on YouTube, y'all say, YouTube, you go first. I want to hear you say that. Say, YouTube, you go first. Okay, let's put that question up. Do you believe in miracles? In their song, believe in miracles. Yes, I know you do. Was that something like that? No. Do you believe in magic, miracles? Same thing. That's what I'm talking about. Same thing. Same thing. All right. Yes, most people say yes. Okay, YouTube, I see you. Yes, but mostly for other people. That's real. That's why I put that on there. Or no, I just believe in science. I know we got some scientists out here. It's okay. Nobody can see what you put on there. I can't. It is totally anonymous. All right. Thank you, YouTube. All right, everybody in the auditorium, go ahead and put in your answer there. I want to hear from you. Do you believe in miracles? I love that we are being honest and we're like, man, yes, but I don't know if I've ever experienced that miracle. I know it's happened to other people, but I don't know if it's happened to me. Thank you so much. Mostly yes, and then secondly, you know what? I think other people are getting miracles. All right, that's real. I appreciate that. I can relate to that. Well, let's look at what the definition of a miracle is. What am I talking about when we talk about miracles? A surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency, i.e. the miracle of raising from the grave. Out of all the things, they chose that one to put on Google. And we know who did that, Jesus Christ. Amen. That is the definition of a miracle. And today's sermon is simply titled, Don't Miss Your Miracle. Don't miss your miracle. Everybody say, don't miss your miracle. Don't miss your miracle. Look to your neighbor and say, don't miss your miracle. Come on now, y'all remember that growing up? Look to your right, look to your left. Don't miss your miracle. All right. Let's look at Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 36. It's up here on the screen, so follow along. Here's the story. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. Ooh, hold up now. He ain't saying this out loud. He was just thinking it. Be careful what you're thinking today. Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. He's so polite. I got something to say. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other, but neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one to whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love, but a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Oh, but he wasn't done yet. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table said among themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. What a story. What a story. I love this whole story. Let's start at the beginning. So Jesus gets an invitation. He is invited to dinner. It was common for the religious folks, the Jewish folks, to invite the visiting preacher home for dinner, right? So that's maybe what was happening here today. A visiting rabbi would come in and enjoy a Sabbath meal. And so what they would do is they would discuss theological issues, societal issues, cultural issues. They would talk amongst themselves. Maybe it was the rabbi. Maybe it was like a local celebrity. So if somebody was a little bit unusual or had some different, unique thoughts, and they would invite them to come to dinner, right? And so it became like local entertainment for them, you know, a form of reality TV, right? They could hear from people their different thoughts. And so the host would invite this person and other people to dinner, you know, like when you're trying to, you know, schmooze somebody, you know, or, you know, come on over. I got Jesus. You heard about Jesus? Jesus coming to my house. That's who's coming, right? I got Jesus coming. You want to sit at the table? Yeah, come on through. You know, you're going to remember later on. Don't forget. I'll let you come over. All right, I got you. And then the visiting speaker, the guest, he can bring some people as well. And so they would then open up the home to other people in the town. So they could come in. They can stand on the outside of the room around the perimeter against the wall. And they could be like the fly on the wall. So they could just watch. Now, they can't say anything. They can't interact. They're just the live audience for the reality TV show that was happening in real life, in real time. What was going to happen this time? And word gets out that Jesus is a special guest. And so it reaches the ears of a certain immoral woman, a certain sinful woman, a woman whose reputation preceded her, a woman whose immoral and sinful pattern of behavior had become her identity. She was the one that good, upstanding Jewish people would want to have nothing to do with, at least in public. Or in the light of day. Now, we don't know who she is. There's a lot of speculation out there that says, hey, this is either Mary Magdalene or Mary of Bethany, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, or somebody totally different. Nobody knows for sure. I went down the rabbit hole. Me and Pastor Jazz had a great discussion. And then I figured, maybe that's the point. Maybe she had lost her name, her identity. Her name may have been replaced with another first name sinful, last name woman. See, that's what came to mind when they saw her in the marketplace. And that's what came to her mind when she looked at herself in the mirror. Even the heading of this passage in the NLT, if you look at it, the heading of the passage in the NLT, it just says, Jesus anointed by a sinful woman. Now, the other thing, we really don't know what kind of sin she was known for. It's easy to speculate that, oh, she was a woman of the night, or she was a prostitute, or something like that, a harlot, some people say. We really don't know, though. We really don't. She could have been a thief, a drunkard, a con artist, a gossiper. There's a lot of other sins, a lot of public sins you could be known for. One thing we do know is she had money, and she was well off. Because she had that expensive jar of perfume sealed in an alabaster jar. That thing was worth a year's salary, a year's wages. That's how much that was worth. So how did Miss Sinful Woman get this? Did she steal it? Did she con somebody for it? Maybe she did sell her body for money. Maybe it was an inheritance or a gift of a loved one before she started going down the wrong path. Now, regardless of all that, she's in this situation and she hears Jesus is going to be at this dinner and she's like, I got to go see him and I'm going to bring this expensive jar of perfume with me. I just imagine her making her way there, maybe praying to God, thinking through all she's done, thinking through if she's even going to be worthy to come inside the house, thinking of what are people going to say? And so she gets there and she walks in the door and she's trying to be hidden. Maybe she got the hat and the hoodie on. You know what I mean? Maybe the COVID mask too. You know what I mean? Like she's walking in like, I don't want nobody to know I'm here. People see her. They start whispering. You think that's so-and-so? You think that's... And she makes her way. She's kind of trying to get positioned. She sees Jesus at the table, and she's like, I want to get close to him, and excuse me, pardon me, trying to be quiet as she gets there, and she sees Jesus having dinner, and she looks down, and his feet are right before her, filled with dust and dirt because they hadn't been washed yet. And in that moment, she breaks down. She kneels before Jesus and starts weeping. This is her moment. This is her moment with the Messiah. You know, the Greek word used here means rain. So literally she rained tears on his feet. She wipes them with her hair and begins to pour her perfume on his feet and kiss his feet. She wasn't just pouring out perfume. She was pouring out her soul. The Greek word used for kiss is an intense word. It signifies more than kissing. It includes hugging and embracing. It's the same word that's used in the story of the prodigal son when he comes home in Luke 15:20. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. It's the same type of embracing and kissing that Miss Sinful Woman was doing with Jesus. And in the same way, Miss Sinful Woman was filled with love and gratitude. She knelt at the feet of the Son of God, embracing him and kissing him. Now, after this, I think there's a transformation that happened in her own heart, the way, even the way other people saw her. I think she transformed a new identity, a new person, a new name. Miss Sinful Woman transformed into Miss Grateful Woman. I think that's what she was known by from then on. Because that type of extravagant love is so rare to see, especially in a room full of people. It's shameless, it's extravagant, it's lavish. Why? Because of a miracle. She experienced the miracle of forgiveness. Remember the definition of miracle. It's something that has to do, you can't do it on your own, a divine agency. God has to be in it. And with forgiveness, that's exactly what happens. We can't forgive ourselves before God. God himself has to do it. she was forgiven, and it led to an overflow of loving gratitude. But did you catch verse 47? Show them verse 47. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love, but a person who has forgiven little shows only little love. You know, one thing I noticed as I studied this story this time around is that it reads as if she was already experienced forgiveness. Because before he even talks to her, he's explaining to Simon why she's doing what she is doing. It's like, she's been forgiven. So what she's doing is she's been forgiven much. So she's loving me much. Look what it looks like to love me much, because she's been forgiven much. Maybe she wasn't coming to Jesus in guilt. Maybe she was coming to him in gratitude. Maybe Jesus had a previous interaction with her in which he forgave her sins and told her, don't tell nobody. Maybe she had resolved in her heart, in her mind, in her spirit that if she ever got a chance to be with him again, that she would anoint him with her most prized possession. My question to you is this: what hinders you from getting to Jesus? What hinders you personally? What do you go through? I mean, I don't know about you, but I feel that call to get close to Jesus. I think every single person on this earth feels that close to get closer, that call to get closer to God. We feel that. What are the things in our hearts? What are the things that hinder us? What are the things that hold us back? Is it our identity? Is it the things that we're holding on to, our idols? Is it fear? Is it fear of what other people think? Fear if God will even love us. Fear if we've sinned too much to be forgiven, to approach Jesus. Fear that I've tried to change before, this ain't gonna happen. Maybe it's shame. Maybe it's regrets. What is it for you? Pride. That's a great one. Pride. That can play itself out in many different ways. I don't need Jesus like that. I'm good right now. I can do this on my own. Or selfishness in terms of, I see you, Jesus, but I want to do what I want to do. I like pleasing me. I like having my own schedule, and I want to spend my money the way I want to spend it, and I want to hang out with whoever I want to hang out with. Ain't that right, folks in the balcony? You get an amen from the folks in the balcony? Distractions. Oh, my goodness. Distractions. Ooh, everything wants our attention. And we give it to everybody so easily. Notification. We tell them to distract us. We turn on our notifications telling, if you want to distract me, you can distract me. I don't care if I'm hanging out with my family. I don't care if I'm at the job. I don't care if I'm on a date. Distract me. Ding. Okay. It's my usual distraction. But do we want Jesus to distract us? To call us back to him? And say, hey, do we got that verse of the day as a notification on the Bible app? That's a good notification there. What hinders us from getting to Jesus? It's good to understand that for ourselves so we can attack that, pray about that, get help with that, so that we don't miss our miracle. Say, don't miss your miracle. I don't want to miss my miracle. I don't want you to miss yours. There are four words in this passage that we just looked at that brought me to tears when I studied this out. I'm telling you, these four words spoke to my heart. It's that Jesus was speaking about me, Mr. Sinful God himself, and they are many. Jesus stopped in that moment. See this sinful woman, Miss Sinful Woman? Yeah, she has sinned a lot. A lot. They are many. He didn't gloss over it. He didn't try to make her look better than she was. No, he deals with us in truth. They are many. And you know, when I read that, I'm like, wow. So you see all of my many sins and you still love me? They are many. It's like Jesus himself was saying to me, yes, I know your sins are many, and yet my grace is sufficient. Yes, I know your sins are many, but that's not a reason to be insecure, to hold back, to be timid. It's a reason to be even more bold, more courageous, more zealous. Yes, I know your sins are many, but because of the miracle of forgiveness, you are free from the shame and the guilt and the regret. And you are free to express your loving gratitude in any and every way that you wish. I believe he's saying the same thing to some of you today. So don't miss your miracle. Simon missed it, y'all. Simon missed it. He couldn't figure out why Jesus would allow this sinful woman to touch him. And he could have easily made the assumption, well, they must have something going on. Jesus got a sneaky link. Now he's been found out. But even for him, there was too much. I learned, I stay up every once in a while. I stay up on the terminology. But even the Pharisees, he couldn't say, he didn't have the guts to say something like that about this, his guest. So he said, it couldn't be that. Maybe he just doesn't know that she's sinful. If he was a prophet, he would know. We know she's sinful. And he don't even know that. How is he supposed to be all wise and know, be the Messiah? He don't even know she's sinful. Everybody knows she's sinful. My cousin knows she's sinful. Everybody knows she's sinful. He don't know. So what did he do? He tried to undermine his role as a prophet and a teacher. How is he going to tell us what to do? He don't even know this. But because Jesus loves all sinners, not just the ones that everyone knows about, but the ones that hide it well, and even the ones too prideful to know they are sinners, because Jesus, he loves all sinners, not just the ones that we can relate to or feel compassion for, because Jesus loves all sinners, especially the ones that we look down upon, judge, and condemn as we read this story. But because he loves all sinners, people that may be even worse sinners than Miss Sinful Woman, sinners that look up to heaven and say, thank you, God, that I'm not like one of those. Because he loves all sinners, even Mr. Good Guy. But I want to Mr. Good Guy, Mr. Good Guy, or Mrs. Good Girl. Tuck it in for that. No. Because he loves all sinners, he tries to help Brother Simon out. He said, I'm going to tell you a story that many of us can relate to, a story about debt. I heard a back there. Simple story. I'm going to make it a little easier for us to relate. Two college students go off to school. A brother and a sister. Twins. Orientation day, they go by a booth. And that booth is by a certain bank. And this brother and sister said, look, they're giving out T-shirts. I want a Georgia Tech T-shirt. A Ramblin' Wreck. I want a Panthers T-shirt. I want a Tigers T-shirt. Okay. What do I got to do to get this? I'll just fill out this little application to get this credit card. Okay. Do I have to use it? No, you don't got to use it. Just tear it up when you get it. Okay. T-shirt. Boom. Building up the closet, the gear. A week later, they get a credit card in the mail. Ooh. I need a few things. And they start spending. Now, the brother, he only spends a little bit. The sister, she went up to the fifth, She went to fifth, She had to get a bag, couple bags, shoes, The brother, he was just trying to survive, trying to eat a meal. The brother spends 50 pieces of silver, 50 denarii. That's a denarii is a day's wage. 50 of them, you work 5 days a week for 10 weeks. That's about 2.5 months of what you would make. Think about that. The sister, she spent 500 denarii. That's like what you make in 2 years. racked up credit card debt. And anybody that has been in debt understands the anxiety that comes with being in debt. I don't know if they still do that, but I used to get debt collectors calling the house phone. Mom like, listen, if it's them, I'm not here. It's crazy. They used to go in on me. We used to cuss each other out. I'm coming to get my money. I mean, all types of stuff. That's back. I don't know if they do that no more. I think regulations are better. I think you all have been spared. That was traumatic for me. Debt, man, it kind of traps you to where you are. You can't move forward. You get bad credit. You can't get a loan. You can't buy a home. You get high interest rates. You're stuck. People use the term drowning in debt for a reason. And this brother and sister, they were both drowning in debt. And so the father decides, I'm going to kindly forgive you both. You can't pay this. You're college students. And he cancels their debt. Now, what makes this act even more special is that when a debt is forgiven or canceled, it doesn't go away. Somebody got to pay that. Somebody got to take on that debt. Somebody got to feel that ill. So the father says, I'm going to take that debt. I'm going to pay it back. Let that cost be transferred to me. That's the miracle of forgiveness, isn't it? That Jesus not only forgives our debt, but he pays the penalty for our debt on the cross. Simon, who do you think loved the Father more? I suppose the one that got, yeah, you are correct. Now, I want you to look at this woman. I love that about Jesus. Simon, look at her. You don't really know her. I want you to look at her, see her. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust off my feet. She washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't even greet me with a kiss. First time, by the time I came in, she hadn't stopped kissing my feet. You neglected a courtesy of olive oil on my head. She's anointed my feet with the most expensive perfume that she got. No water. What did that mean? If you don't offer somebody water, it's just a lack of common courtesy. Let's just say that. Let's say that. No kiss means no greeting. He didn't even acknowledge Jesus was there. No olive oil meant no honor. That was a form of honor. You put a little olive oil on her forehead. Thank you for being here. I honor you. I honor you as a speaker. I honor you as a teacher, as a rabbi. None of those. Which one would you be most upset about? Which one would you be most upset about? This is a scale, because I know y'all going to say, all of them. I'm mad. I'm hot. I wish they tried me like that. I mean, think about it. Being invited to someone's home, and they act like you're not even there. You ever been with somebody, and they start talking to somebody else, and they don't even introduce you? You're just sitting there like, can I meet your friend? You know what I mean? Like, I'm here. That's what happened to Jesus. Which one would you struggle with the most? No greeting, no courtesy. Man, you can't wash your feet. I know we don't relate to that. But imagine the embarrassment and the shame that a person feels when they can't even wash their feet. That's what they degraded Jesus to. I want you to know that I invited you, but you're not really welcome. Which one would you be most upset about? No greeting is number one. Number two, no courtesy. Number three, no honor. It's like, hey, I just want somebody to say hello. You know, Jesus calls him out. Mr. Good Guy, the brother in this story of college students, only spent 50. You're not any better than Miss Sinful Woman, your sister, who spent 500. Actually, you're worse off because she has experienced the miracle of forgiveness and you're missing your miracle. You know, it says a simple equation. Forgiven much, loves much. Forgiven little, loves little. Now, the irony here is that we've all been forgiven much. All of us. It's just a matter of perspective. Some of us are just too prideful to realize it. And you know, a telltale sign of that is our lack of loving gratitude. We take Jesus for granted. We feel entitled that he's around, that we can invite him to the house for dinner, and he comes. Oh, and we're entitled by the fact that he sits at our dinner table and he teaches us and our kids and our families and our loved ones. So we don't bother to honor him anymore or even show him the basic respect we would show a random person who comes over. You see, with access to Jesus, a comfortability of being around Jesus, for me, I can be like Simon, the Pharisee, entitled to his presence, puffed up by the ways I serve him, feeling good that, hey, at least I invited him to dinner. But not making the most of the opportunity to be vulnerable with him, to pour out my most treasured possession, my very soul, and to seek after the intimacy that Miss Grateful Woman experienced with Jesus. No, Jesus is sitting in my living room, and let me tell you, I'm going to be honest for a second. Jesus is sitting in my living room, and I'm either walking around proud of all the ways I served him this week, telling him about all the people I helped and what I did for his church, or Jesus is sitting in my living room and all I'm thinking about is how can I get outside the house and go enjoy the pleasures of the world, hoping that he's still there when I get back, because when I walk back in, I'm going to be guilted out and I'm going to need him again and I'm going to realize that I'm this sinful woman after all. Yes, I've been both, Miss Sinful Woman and Mr. Good Guy. And there's a good chance you have to. You know, if Jesus was really with you this past week, hanging with you as a physical person, what was his experience like? Coming to your home for dinner, going to work with you or going to class with you, being alone with you late at night, or hanging with your friends. Did he feel included or ignored? Did you introduce him to your friends? Was he your partner in the gospel, or did he feel more like the third wheel? You, your job, and him. You, your family, and him. You, your friends, and him. You, your device, and him. You, your sin, and him. Did he feel welcomed much or welcomed little? Honored much or honored little? Loved much or loved little? Because those who have been forgiven much love much, and those who've been forgiven little love little. Which one are you? Better question is, which one do you want to be? Which one do you want to be? You know, maybe you haven't experienced the miracle of forgiveness. You're not sure if you have or not, maybe. We'd love to help you out. We'd love to talk to you about it, to just pray with you about that. We would love to help you to get to the feet of Jesus. So I want to encourage you. That's you today. Be like the sinful woman who didn't let anyone or anything get in her way from getting to Jesus. Because the miracle happens when we say yes to his invitation to kneel at his feet and pour out our souls. There's no substitute, church, for that intimate interaction with Jesus Christ himself. There's nothing like hearing him say, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." That's the miracle. Don't miss your miracle. Don't miss your miracle. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to offer you a couple of things to do at this moment to put this word into practice. Number one, when we're done with service, a few of the staff, our ministry leaders, will be over here on this side near the green room. And if you just want to get to Jesus and don't know how or want help to do so, we're going to be over here. Come talk to us. Come talk to us. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. No matter what, if you're coming over here, come talk to us, right? Number two, right now, if you are able, if you are willing, if you feel compelled to, let's kneel at the feet of Jesus. Join me in kneeling at the feet of Jesus. Show him our extravagant and shameless loving gratitude. Let's go ahead and pray. As we pray, if you feel compelled to and you're able, let's get on our knees. We're going to take communion in just a moment. We're going to take it together after this prayer. So our host team is going to come around and make sure you have a little packet. That packet has a bread, a cracker. If you don't have it, raise your hands. They're coming around now. It's a cracker that represents the broken body of Jesus and some juice that represents the blood of Jesus. If you don't have a communion packet, just raise your hand right now and our host team will get it to you. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, Father. We all have sinned much. And Father, right now we're either begging you and asking you for forgiveness, or we're so grateful that we've received it, Father God. I don't know where we are today, God, but I pray that today we will move forward towards the heart and attitude that Miss Sinful Woman had that transformed her into Miss Grateful Woman. Father, whether we're more like her, struggling with our identity, struggling with our sin, struggling with shame and regret, or whether we're more like Mr. Good Guy, who thinks we have it all together, who thinks we really don't need Jesus that much, who thinks we're doing okay. Father, I pray that you'll meet us here now, just like Jesus did for both of them, and help us to get closer to where you want us to be. We thank you for the body of Jesus Christ that was broken, and his blood that was spilled, a penalty for our debt that we will never experience. We thank you for that. Father, I pray that our hearts right now will be pleasing to you, that our gratitude that may come out in tears will be pleasing to you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.